broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for March 4th in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so using the incredible checks and balances in the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. We reject revolution unless it's a peaceful Jesus revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Lowell Nelson with me, campaignforliberty.org. Before we get to him, last Monday, we talked in depth about some incredible, shocking stories, ladies and gentlemen. SlayNews.com is really doubling down on this. Frank Bergman reported several different things that are just shocking. Medical staff ordered to use euthanasia and euthanize COVID patients was the first headline. The details, explosive leaked documents, have emerged that show medical staff were ordered to euthanize patients who had been admitted to the hospital and who tested positive for COVID. Right? This is insane to even report. This report has sent shockwaves around the world after the investigation into the high numbers of COVID deaths after. Well, the pandemic, they realized that tens of thousands of elderly people literally murdered. The data produced in the report indicated that people were being euthanized using a fatal injection of, and I don't know how to say this name again, midazolam. This drug is literally a serious deal. And you kind of go, what on earth? Well, Lowell Nelson, welcome to the broadcast. And on the heels of that incredible groundbreaking information from Slay News, we've got more. Welcome, sir.
Thanks, Sam. Good to be with you. That story last week about knocked my socks off. And then, so I go back to Slay News yesterday to see what else they put up, and I find still more articles with blockbuster type news. And initially, Sam, I thought, well, is this a Babylonian Bee type of publication? But I mean, I don't think so. I mean, this publication seems to be on point on a host of a variety of different issues. This is only one thing that they're digging into, and they're digging into it deeply. But they talk about all kinds of news, so I think they're legit. And the fact that these studies that they cite are published by the CDC or by the National Health Institute there in the UK, the thing that they're being reported by the head of the Australian Independent Party or the Australian one of the parties there in Australia, gives it credence. This is really viable and credible news source. So I want to jump back into this today, Sam, and I found four stories that any one of which we could spend time on this morning, but I decided, well, we don't have that much time, but I'll just mention the headlines from the first three stories, and then we can dig further into the fourth story. One article posted on February 18 notes that pharmaceutical companies quietly are dropping mRNA vaccines as sudden deaths soar. Quote, massive spikes in heart failure, strokes, blood clots, cancers, and vaccine-acquired immunodeficiency symptoms or syndrome, which is VAIDS, like VAIDS, that's vaccine-acquired immunodeficiency syndrome, all of which are side effects of the mRNA injection, have caused global excess death numbers to soar. Well, that's just the first article. The second article, the essence of it, it was posted February 20. It cites a major new study which documented the outcomes of 99 million people after they received the COVID mRNA shots. that concludes that the injections are responsible for the global surge in sudden deaths and life-threatening illnesses. Quote, the researchers found that staggering numbers of vaccinated people suffered serious complications such as heart failure, blood clots, strokes, brain disorders, and severely weakened immune systems, end quote. Then we go on to the third article. It was posted February 25. It cites a secret CDC report that shows a staggering 500,000 American children and young adults have been killed by COVID shots. Quote, the CDC report has revealed that almost 500,000 Americans aged between 0 and 44 years died from the dangerous side effects of the COVID mRNA injections between the start of the public rollout of the shots in early 2021 and October 9th, 2022. End of quote. Wow. So the fourth and final article from SlayNews.com is about a COVID nurse who was fired because she refused to get the clot shot, and then she blew the whistle on a major cover-up of deaths related to COVID mRNA shots. Remember last week, Sam, when I said on the radio, you know, after talking about that first report, I said, well, wouldn't it be interesting if someone came forth, you know, a whistleblower came forward to corroborate everything that we just discussed in this report? Well, there she is. Her name is Gail McCrae. She worked in an ICU at the Kaiser Permanente Hospital in Santa Rosa from 2015 to 2021. And she is speaking out to raise the alarm that the public is being misled about the injections and about the true number of COVID patients. McCrae is accusing the hospital where she worked of violating medical ethics. She said this violation, which she believes is happening across the country and beyond, has resulted in increased harm to patients. After the COVID-19 vaccine rollout, McCrae witnessed a dramatic spike in hospitalizations and deaths. She says patients were suffering from side effects she had never seen before. Proven and recommended treatments were banned, and record-keeping systems were manipulated to obfuscate vaccine-related injuries and breakthrough infection cases. End of quote. Now, these are serious charges, Sam. Let's look at what she has revealed. Hospital officials ordered staff to cover up vaccine-related deaths, often by listing fully vaccinated dead patients as, quote, unvaccinated, end quote, and marking the cause as COVID. Now, just listen to what she said there. Hospital people ordered staff, so hospital officials, they ordered staff, meaning nurses like her, to cover up vaccine-related deaths, right? So somebody gets the clot shot, they die, and they then they're listed as unvaccinated, and they mark the death as being caused by COVID. That's what she's saying here. And then, and secondly, she says medical professionals were met with retaliation for objecting to protocols for isolating patients and denying families access and input over their treatments. So that's horrendous too. Medical professionals, so we're talking about doctors and nurses, met with retaliation for objecting to the isolative protocols, right? Because a patient got COVID and they got isolated. And if you're a medical professional and you objected to that isolation and you objected to, you know, the denying families access to their loved one, then you were retaliated against. That's bad. So, and then third thing, she bullet point here, in the first months of the pandemic, hospitals were nearly empty as elective procedures halted, a scene that contrasted with media claims of overwhelmed capacity. Remember, Sam, during the first months of the pandemic, hospitals reported that they were overflowing, right? Dead bodies everywhere, stacked. They didn't have room for all of the dead bodies and for the COVID patients that were just piling up, you know, the hospital entryways, right? Not so. Not so at all. The first months of the pandemic, hospitals were nearly empty, she says. A scene that contrasts, of course, with the media claims of overwhelmed capacity. In the last bullet point here, the claim she made here, Sam, even during the 2020-2021 winter surge of hospitalizations.
Go ahead and skip the break. Keep going, Lol.
Due to normal respiratory issues, she said, not once were hospitals overwhelmed. End of quote. Wow. So these claims were not hers alone, by the way, Sam. She corroborated with colleagues across the state. She worked in California, right? Santa Rosa, California. And she corroborated these interesting facts with colleagues across the state. She also said that, quote, despite COVID-19 being the most inflammatory disease process that humanity has ever seen, end of quote, experienced hospital staff were blocked from administering steroids, which she says is the best treatment for an inflammatory process. Now, I don't necessarily believe that, but that's what she believed, right? And so for the government and the CDC and these three-letter organizations to tell practitioners that they could not administer steroids was absolutely criminal, in her words, was absolutely criminal, right? So apparently the medical professionals, they administer steroids usually to stop inflammation. Well, the medical professionals were ordered not to use steroids. And that's criminal because you're not helping your patients. You're not observing the Hippocratic Oath. If you deny your patient life-saving medicine or treatment, then you are really ethically challenged as a doctor because the Hippocratic Oath says that you'll first do no harm and then that you will do all you can to save the life of your patient. Well, California was not the only state to ban steroids, Sam. Apparently, other states banned the use of steroids also. And then, meanwhile, remdesivir, already proven to be ineffective as an Ebola therapeutic, remdesivir was administered, and with many, many people causing renal failure and death. And the cost of one dose of remdesivir was over $3,000. And so there's a profit motive also to blame here. Continuing in this article, once COVID-19 vaccines were introduced in early 21, McRae reported an immediate and drastic shift in patient admissions. She revealed that her hospital saw a staggering 300% increase in hospitalizations. Right? This is coincident with the rollout of the clot shots. This is the COVID-19 vaccines that were really just mRNA injections, right? With that rollout, her hospital saw a staggering 300% increase in hospitalizations. And now this is really getting down and dirty here. McRae said that code blue alerts. Now, a code blue alert, she explained, is when somebody stops breathing or their heart stops beating, right? That would be a code blue in the hospital where she worked. I don't know if all hospitals use this terminology, but in her hospital, the code blue alerts, which had been happening maybe once per shift, right? So she has the 12-hour shift, and maybe once per shift, they would get a code blue. Well, after the rollout of the mRNA vaccines, the clot shots, then she said they were getting as many as 10 times per shift. So like a tenfold increase in the number of code blue alerts, right? So two nurses who administered the shots directly, colleagues she met through a practitioner support group in her community. These two nurses who were the very ones to administer this mRNA clot shot injection, they said they were seeing between 10 and 20 episodes of anaphylactic shock every single day that they administered these shots. Every single day, 10 to 20 episodes of anaphylactic shock. And they told McRae that they were threatened with termination if they spoke out about the situation publicly, right? So they were threatened with a loss of their job. They said, if you tell anybody what's going on here, we will fire you. Well, what were some of the adverse side effects? They were uncommon blood clots, bleeds, heart attacks, strokes, and Bell's palsy increasing in frequency during the early months of the vaccination campaign. She said, this is McCray again, McCray said the hospital's charting system was rigged to not show post-vaccination breakthrough infections. Any patient who was diagnosed with COVID, the chart would automatically populate as unvaccinated.
Yeah, and this is flat out deception. This is fake news saying that just because you are positive that you're unvaccinated, that's not even true. They have all kinds of breakthrough infections, and they've documented that more and more and more and more too, even betraying what they did in the beginning on that, right?
Right. And if anyone tried to change that manually, you know, they are diagnosed with COVID, and the chart then automatically populates the word unvaccinated. And so now you're a nurse, you're trying to change that manually, but the only other option was vaccination status unknown. Well, they knew full well that they had been administered that mRNA clot shot, that injection. They knew full well, but they couldn't change it because the software wouldn't allow it. This was a feature of the Epic software used at all Kaiser Permanente hospitals, and that is a limitation corroborated by others. McCray said she talked with nurses all over the country who saw the scamming of the charting systems. And by the time McCray was fired, she estimated that more than 90% of the patients hospitalized at her facility were fully vaccinated. McCray said she is concerned for the future of medicine in the country because we have criminalized and disciplined all the practitioners who were willing to protect patients and families. She said, I would not take a family member to a hospital. It's a dangerous place, she said. End of quote. Well, McCray and several other medical professionals, including Dr. Christiane Northrup, founded an organization called Stand Firm Now. I looked at this website last night, standfirmnow.com, and that site is gathering expert testimony from medical practitioners on notarized affidavits, and they're making these affidavits available and accessible to any and every litigating attorney in the world. They're hopeful that these affidavits, these legal documents, will help to persuade judges to actually believe, or at least consider believing, what these whistleblowers are saying and have been saying for several years now. Sam?
I think it's great news that we're getting more and more pay dirt on this. What I really want to see, though, is not just reporting, not just getting the facts out, but eventually prosecution. Eventually, look, these people can't be allowed just to do this, right? So I appreciate the reporting. I appreciate the truth news, the truth reporting of Slay News and many others on this topic. That's great. But where's the prosecutions, though? Where's Rand Paul and others to literally put Fauci in prison for this? What about other whistleblowers coming forward? We need them to be as tall or stand as tall as this wonderful nurse speaking out. She can be, you know, corroborated around the world and really document what happened here. This is an absolute, I'm going to just call it Operation Kill As Many As You Can is what it's literally turning into. And these exposés expose all that. And we need accountability here. We can't just say, oh, we know the truth now. All that'll do is empower them even further. These secret combinations have got to stop. And hopefully we can be part of the whistleblowing on this, Lol.
Well, I hope so too, Sam. And I think that you know, a family who is able to prosecute a medical staff for their failure to administer life-saving procedures, treatment, drugs, or whatever, if they were to take this to court and sue, you know, they're going to need these affidavits. So that's good that this group is putting together affidavits, the Stand Firm Now group. I think that's helpful. I think that I think as more and more people become aware that they've been duped, then hopefully there will be more lawsuits. There will be more people held accountable.
And more news reporting and more, I mean, the rounds just increase. I really kind of am shocked at how many people did not stand up.
Yeah.
Because this is in your face. And everybody that I've talked to in the medical field, they say, we know it's a sham in the hospitals and stuff. We just don't dare say anything. But the problem is if nobody says anything, they get away with this stuff, though. So this nurse is heroic. These doctors that are putting together this new organization are heroic. They're like frontline doctors and many others. Dr. Pierre Corey and everything else, their reputations are being, tarnished and abused and wrongfully, articulated and everything else. But these people are heroes. But what surprises me is how more people didn't stand up. When you go into the medical profession, 9 times out of 10, you're there because you really care and want to make life better for people. And you believe in the creed, first do no harm. It surprises me that so many remain silent. I wonder if they'll stand up now.
Well, I certainly hope so, Sam. It surprises me too, but you have a job on the line, something you have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars going to school, going to medical school after that, going through an internship, and then finally you become the nurse or the doctor you've always wanted to be, and now you've got medical staff hospital administrators telling you what protocols to use, what rules to follow. You're kind of a newbie, and you kind of go along with, because they've been here longer than you have. You just barely got the job, right? And so you have a family to provide for. I mean, I can kind of understand why so few people have stood up to this, because if you have a family to provide for, and this is all you can do to provide for them is to work in this professional space, this medical community, it's a lot of pressure there, Sam.
We need a lot of ways, whether it be this issue with the hospitals and COVID, whether it be the issue with January 6th, whether the issue it be with, you've got the government in hardcore intimidation tactics going on. There's got to be a way that we can sue and push the government back to say, look, you can't just intimidate all these people putting their jobs on the line, or saying they've got to get vaccinated to work, or saying that they better not speak up or they'll be fired, or, you know, and this is relating to all kinds of information. No matter what somebody's prosecuted of, it seems like there's this massive intimidation campaign that goes on behind the scenes for these people, forcing them to, you know, so this one guy wouldn't cop to the truth, and now they say, well, it's payback. This journalist that reported on January the 6th, Steve Baker, and then you got this guy that got released because they tried to put these enhancements on his sentence. Turns out that he's fighting back and not willing to cop, and they just slapped that on him, and they're trying to make things into felonies and everything else, trying to change the game, and the judges are now saying you can't have this enhancement, whether it's your right to keep and bear arms. All these people are being intimidated by the government. That's a no-no in normal circles, but the secret combination has got above us to where this is standard practice, lol. And this is the same thing's true here. If we want whistleblowers, we've got to find a way that where they won't have their lives completely ruined.
Yeah, amen to that, Sam. Absolutely right. They need a way to blow the whistle without retaliation. I mean, that was the purpose of the whistleblower laws in the beginning, 10, 20, 50 years ago, as the whistleblower laws became more prominent. They were enacted because whistleblowers got retaliation. And so then you get laws protecting whistleblowers. But those laws are not being enforced nowadays. And so if you're a whistleblower, you pay a stiff penalty nowadays for blowing the whistle on the government, because the government...
And if we the people want this to turn around, this is where we can kind of make the difference and start to push for this. We need more protection for whistleblowers. More yep. facts coming out. The government needs to get their head handed to them for the retaliations and stuff like that. By the way, I hope people will call a halt to the con game of this perpetual war we find ourselves in. Ron Paul writes an incredible column and speaks out about that. We'll talk about it in seconds with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Liberty. USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. For the first time, Nikki Haley is the anticipated winner of a GOP primary, reportedly coming out on top in Washington, D.C. on Sunday. Meanwhile, Donald Trump celebrating a handful of new state caucus victories across the U.S. this weekend. Republicans gathered for caucuses in Missouri, Michigan, and Idaho Saturday. Trump rallied in Virginia.
We want to send a big signal, so it's important. I mean, we don't need your vote. We want you to get out, though, and vote in big margins, and we want to send that little freight train going along.
Haley has vowed to remain in the race through Super Tuesday, March 5th. The impeachment inquiry against President Joe Biden marches on despite recent setbacks. Kentucky Congressman James Comer, on with Fox Business, says this is about Biden's favorable classified documents case result.
We have some emails from Hunter Biden to various people around the globe that he was receiving money from, that in these emails are attachments that appear to be government documents. We want to know, were those part of the classified document?
The CDC is updating its COVID guidelines.
The Centers for Disease Control says Americans with COVID no longer need to isolate for 5 days. Released on Friday, the new guidance covers COVID and other respiratory infections. According to the updated guidelines, individuals with COVID can resume normal daily activities if they've been fever-free for 24 hours without medication or if their symptoms have been improving.
USA's John Schaefer. It's going to be a big weekend for the makers of Dune Part 2. According to Deadline, the sci-fi blockbuster was set to make at least $80 million at the U.S. box office for the weekend and finished closer to $160 million globally. Second place at the box office will likely be Bob Marley, One Love. It's made more than $80 million so far. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Attention collectors and savvy investors. We are excited to announce a momentous evolution in our journey. Introducing Free Water Coin Company, formerly known as Rust Coin and Gift. This rebranding takes us back to the very roots of where it all began, Free Water, Oregon. It's a tribute to the legacy of Al Rust and a celebration of three generations of dedication and excellence in the world of coins and precious gifts. Al, Brian, and Jake Rust, standing strong through 64 years of service. Discover a world of exceptional service at Free Water Coin Company, your premier destination for genuine, honest money and precious gifts. Under Brian's expert guidance, Free Water Coin Company, building on the legacy of Rust Coin and Gift, continues its tradition of trust and excellence. Visit us at our Provo, Utah location. Explore our treasures online at rustgoldandsilver.com or call us at 801-377-1574. Free Water Coin Company, where your future is built one honest coin at a time.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable live here on your radio, your internet, however you're consuming this content. My name is Lowell Nelson. It's my pleasure to have a seat at the roundtable this morning, the Liberty Roundtable, with Sam Bushman, your host of Liberty Roundtable Live. We've been talking about the blockbuster news out of SlayNews.com about how hospitals staff were ordered, nurses and doctors ordered to obfuscate the real COVID data, what was really going on, the deaths, and so forth. And we're now turning our attention to a column that Ron Paul wrote, which is posted at campaignforliberty.org. It was posted there last Monday. And he's saying that the neocons are persuading Congress to spend many more billions on the proxy war in Ukraine. U.S. Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland, in defending the $61 billion request, said, quote, "We will do what we have always done, which is defend democracy and freedom around the world," end of quote. Well, Ron writes, and what Nuland is attempting here is what the neocons always do, quote, "They try to wrap their terrible policies up in the American flag and sell it to the American people as something reflective of our values. If you oppose another neocon war, well, then you're just unpatriotic, according to their trickery," end of quote. But the good news, according to Ron, is that Americans are waking up to these lies. You know, he asked the question, do we Americans believe that Washington, D.C. was, quote, "defending democracy and freedom," end quote, when it went into Iraq and killed nearly a million people? Do we Americans believe that Washington, D.C. was defending democracy and freedom when it took the 20 years to replace the Taliban in Afghanistan with, well, the Taliban? Same question with regard to Syria, with regard to Libya, and with regard to Ukraine and various other countries over there. Ron writes, quote, "It's getting harder and harder for the American people to choke down the war lies of the neocons. That is something that should make us feel optimistic. According to a Harris poll taken earlier this month, some 70% of Americans want talks to end. Some 70% of Americans want to end the Ukraine war. Americans no longer support the neocon war project in Ukraine, and that is something to celebrate," end of quote. That was Ron Paul, former Congressman Ron Paul, just giving us reason to celebrate, right? If, Sam, if 2 out of 3 Americans now believe that Americans should not be in Ukraine, then we really do have a reason to celebrate. That's great news, Sam.
It's great news, ladies and gentlemen. A Harris poll, just to repeat, but 70% of Americans simply want to have talks and get out of this thing. Really, if you articulated how much we're involved militarily and how much we spend and on what we spend it, and the fact that we're in over 130 nations militarily speaking and everything else, if we were candid with the American people and truthful about what's really going on, most people would be against all of it. They really would. The reason that they're not is because they just wrap the flag, as you mentioned, around whatever issue and make it sound like, oh my gosh, we got to do this because we need peace at home and this is the only way. Or, you know, people are deceived on the real facts and the details surrounding this, right? When we do these things around the world, if Americans really caught wind of exactly what we were doing, they would be absolutely up in arms against it. Ron Paul writes an incredible column and highlights the good news on this. But Judge Napolitano follows up on this critical issue, highlighting what we're really doing. This is important for people to understand what's really happening, because when they do, they're going to be against it, Lowell. They just will.
You're right, Sam. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, some people, when they hear these headlines, when they hear this news, they will shut their ears to it because they simply cannot believe how insidious or how evil these people are, right? I mean, and yet if you've been listening to Liberty Roundtable for years, then you already understand how evil people can be and how bad things are. And so it's kind of like, you know, if you are listening to this for the very first time, and you don't believe your ears, well, just stay with us, okay? Because these news stories are so important to understand what the U.S. regime is doing here and abroad and around the world. And
yeah, the first thing you got to undo is you got to undo the sanitized news that we're told about war. What they do is they show you fleeting examples of maybe a bad thing happening where you get this wrong idea. Fleeting examples of war. They've whitewashed war and sanitized war to where we believe it's just kind of something you blip on TV because it'll never come here to our homeland because, man, they're doing such a great job overseas. And we're lulled into this patriotic lie.
Absolutely right. Now, Judge Napolitano seems to be writing an article every week. It's getting posted at ronpaulinstitute.org, and I'm so grateful that it is. I'm really enjoying his articles. I think I learn something new every single week. And this week, he discusses torture. He clarifies that torture is wrong. And yes, Sam, I know torture is wrong, but we were told after 9/11 that torture can be justified, right? I mean, torture's okay if we get good information from somebody who's being tortured.
No, it's a lie. Number one, it'll never get good information. Number two, it's an abuse of human rights. You'll never gain ground by being evil and vindictive and lowering the bar. In other words, stooping to the level of these kind of terrorists and criminals. You'll never do well with that, ever. The Founding Fathers understood this reality.
And yet, the Bush administration, after 9/11, they were told that it's okay, right? Bush's own White House counsel advised the president, President Bush, this is Bush Jr., right, that because Gitmo is physically located in Cuba, the Constitution doesn't apply. Federal laws don't apply. Federal courts lack jurisdiction. All of this erroneous advice was tailored to tell Bush and VP Dick Cheney, who, according to former CIA personnel, had a particular fondness for torture, all of this was tailored to tell them just what they wanted to hear. Judge Knapp says, quote, "This terrible legal advice became the stated legal basis for the torture regime and the proposed but never implemented kangaroo courts at Gitmo. Until the FBI entered the scene, put a stop to the torture, and the Supreme Court entered the picture and required real trials," end of quote. So this is the first point I want to emphasize, Sam. Torture anywhere is wrong. It's illegal, even if it occurs outside the states, right? I mean, that's the very first point that Judge Knapp talks about. I mean, and we were told differently, right? For the past 20 years, we've been told that torture's okay if it helps to save lives, right? That's what the lamestream media will tell you over and over and over again. If they tell you a lie often enough, and they repeat it often enough, then it becomes believable. That's what's been happening to us, folks. The social fabric has been worn thin. This lie has been spread so many times and so often and so widely here in America that if you talk to the common person on the street, they will agree that torture is okay if it helps to save American lives. That's what you'll hear. 9 people out of 10 will tell you that's okay. Well, Judge Knapp is
and they'll tell you that. Hold on. They'll tell you that based on the propaganda they've been fed for their whole lifetime is the reason why they will fall for this lie.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so Judge Knapp is standing up against this and emphasizing that torture anywhere is wrong. It's illegal. It's immoral, no matter where it occurs. And so that's the first big point.
And it's been proven scientifically by psychologists and psychiatrists and scientists and everywhere else under the sun. You don't get valid information. You get what you want to hear or what you're pushing for. 9 times out of 10, you don't get the truth. You don't get what really occurred. They just want it to stop, and so they'll say or do anything.
Because they want the pain to stop. They'll tell you anything. In fact, Judge Knapp puts it this way, quote, "Defense and government psychiatrists agree that victims of prolonged torture will say what they think the questioner wants to hear long after the torture has ended, just as victims during torture will say what they think the torturer wants to hear," end quote. Right? And so, in fact, Sam, I have I personally know a former employee at NSA, a division chief, someone who's in charge of a huge arm of the NSA, and he refused to do torture, to allow torture to occur in his division. They had zero torture. But through conversation with the prisoners, they were able to acquire information that was far more accurate and far more valuable than anything obtained by the other arms of the NSA that employed
torture. Yeah, go ahead and skip the break. And I want to mention this, too. You know, back in the news in the George Bush days and when all this was coming out in the Barack Obama days and all this kind of stuff, we really got information where the government was arguing that waterboarding wasn't even torture. And the rest of us are like, are you kidding me? This feeling that you're going to drown isn't torture. People are so scarred from this forever. And so you look at what happened in Guantanamo Bay and all these different things. We've still got prisoners there that haven't really been, convicted, I guess? I don't know how you even work through all this, but it's so psychotic of what we've done. We've become, in my opinion, the criminals of the world. I mean, it hails to like a Paul Potts or some of these other evil dictators that murdered people. Holodomor comes to mind, all these other dictator evil people, you know, Hitler and Stalin, and I mean, I can keep going, right? But it's like that kind of behavior that we've stooped to in America. No wonder we don't have any trust in the system. Lol.
Yeah, absolutely, Sam. Torture is wrong. It's criminal under federal law. It's criminal under all 50 states' law, no matter its purpose, no matter its location. And then Judge Knapp writes this. He says, quote, "The Bush-Cheney torture regime and its Devil's Island at Gitmo are among the darkest events perpetrated by a modern American presidency. Far from preserving, protecting, and defending the Constitution, as Bush and Cheney both swore to do, by destroying the free will and personhood of their victims, they have undermined the values upon which the Constitution is based. Those values are articulated in the Declaration of Independence and in the Constitution's Ninth Amendment. Taken together, they reflect the unanimous public understanding of the founding generation that our rights are natural to our humanity. They are indefeasible, and they are permanent. And the sole purpose of the rule of law is to protect our rights." End of quote. And that's the end of the article, Sam. It's a sobering article, but we have to know what crimes our public servants are committing in order to prevent that from happening again.
And via the new media taking center stage, ladies and gentlemen, you have former Congressman and Dr. Ron Paul, along with Judge Andrew Napolitano. These two twin articles really double down and highlight this. They're itching for war right now. They want to figure out a way to take us to war in every way possible. They love the military-industrial complex. They're hawkish as all get out. And Judge Napolitano and Ron Paul are both basically saying, you know what? We need a reset of this discussion. We need to understand how evil this is and how problematic this is. And we need to use our influences. We, the American people, our greater numbers can make us successful if we, the people, stand together. And so the new media is doing their part now. They're releasing this to where you have the facts. We're guilty of torture and all kinds of evil behavior. It's got to stop. And while they're agitating for more war, don't fall for this so-called patriotic lie that it's somehow it's, you know, we got to do it and we're better off for doing it and everything else. As Ron Paul wrote, and I highlight this final point, it's getting harder and harder for the American people to choke down the war lies of the neocons. Wow. That's something that make us feel optimistic. He's right as rain, but we then got to use our greater numbers to insist on peaceful change. It's got to stop. Anyway, I commend them for that, Lowell.
And now is a good time to be asking the candidates for congressional offices these hard questions. I mean, if they're incumbents and they're running for re-election, then we should be asking them these hard questions. Well, do you condone torture? Are you facilitating the the continuation of the war in Ukraine? Would you vote for that war? Would you vote to send more aid to Ukraine? What do you think about U.S. involvement in Afghanistan and in Iraq?
What do you think should be done with the fact mm-hmm. that we have over 130 nations we're involved in militarily speaking right now? Is that acceptable in your mind?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are the kinds of questions we should be peppering these candidates with, because this is an election year. This is an even-numbered year, 2024, and these congressmen, these candidates for Congress, they need to hear these questions loud and clear. So whatever Amen. Meeting you attend, a town hall meeting or, a meet the candidate night or whatever, if you have an opportunity to ask a question of these congressmen, make sure you ask a really tough question here and put them on the spot. Make them
be polite but persistent, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. And get a few people with you, too, because when they start to try to just shout you down and run you out on a rail, if enough people stand up and hold the line, it gets very hard for them to do. All right, I want to get to the Utah legislative session. I call it Utah under siege whenever the legislative session is in, or whenever the legislative group is in session, because it's so dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. But the Utah legislative session 2024 in review, we got a grassroots preliminary report to break down just for you, Lowell.
Well, thank you, Sam. I brought some good news and some bad news. It's always a mix, good and bad. But I sprinkled in some of these good things because I want to end this broadcast on an upbeat note. Senate Bill 69, entitled Income Tax Amendments, it's a good bill. It would reduce the corporate and individual income tax rates from 4.65% down to 4.55%, so a tenth of a percent reduction in our income tax rate here in Utah
State.
Which
ain't much, but we'll take what we can get and push for more. How's that?
That's right. It's a step in the right direction. That's a good bill that awaits action by the governor. Here's a bad bill, House Bill 13, called Infrastructure Financing Districts. This is a terrible bill. It violates our state constitution. It sets up a framework for new taxes without you having any voice, and it gives non-residents power to govern you and benefit from those taxes, and it sets up a new quasi-sovereign mini-government to do it all. So it's not going to be your county, it won't be your municipality. It's a new bird. It's a new animal. It's called a financing district, an IFD, Infrastructure Financing District. And even though in our state constitution, Sam, Article 6, Section 28, which says the legislature shall not delegate to any special commission, private corporation, or association, any power to make, supervise, or interfere with any municipal improvement, money, property, or effects, whether held in trust or otherwise, to levy taxes, to select a capital site, or to perform any municipal functions, end of quote. So we have that right in our state constitution, Sam, and yet the legislators passed this, it sailed through both the House and the Senate. And there's only three senators, Baldry, Johnson, and Kennedy, that had enough sense and courage to vote against this horrible bill. And we'll learn later why this is being done. Basically, it's so the governor can say he's not taxing you. It's this special financing district, this infrastructure financing district.
Well, what it does, ladies and gentlemen, is it puts judge, jury, executioner, judge, jury, and executioner all under the same branch. It's disaster when it comes to the checks and balances, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why it's so egregious.
Absolutely. Okay, sensitive material review amendments. This is a good bill, House Bill 29. Basically, it's going to help evaluate instructional material to identify and remove pornographic or indecent material from public schools. That awaits the governor's signature. Of course, the best idea is to just get your children out of public schools altogether, but this is a good step for those who are captivated by the public school system. House Bill 68, the firearm modifications. This is a bad bill. It would impose stiffer penalties on drug traffickers if they possess a gun. Now, a lot of people think, well, we need to penalize these people who have a gun when they traffic drugs. But Representative Tim Jimenez, who I applaud and who voted against this bill, noted this. He said, quote, "My understanding is that law enforcement wanted the bill to make sure that drug traffickers got more serious sentences. They told us that folk who traffic drugs, especially with fentanyl, were getting short or no sentences. This would allow them, this bill, in other words, would allow them to get extra time added to sentences and to force them to be held in jail before court hearings. My thought is, this is Tim speaking, just make trafficking of fentanyl a serious offense with mandatory minimums. This bill makes firearms the bad thing, not the selling of drugs."
Yeah, and what they're trying to do, in my mind, is they're trying to, they know that no one will pass and they're restricting on your Second Amendment if it's blatantly touted as such. What they're trying to do is back this into something that everybody's paranoid of. Oh my gosh, yeah, we got to stop the criminals and the drug traffickers and the fentanyl dispensers and stuff. Get them. Well, it's the wrong argument, though, and you're losing your Second Amendment rights over it, folks. Be very clear. Choose up and down vote bills. If it's a bill about the Second Amendment, let's discuss it openly and shut it down. If it's a bill about increasing, you know, sentences for drug traffickers, by all means, let it stand on its own. But what they're trying to do is co-opt gun control into this mix, where the people are not really aware or understand. They're just like, well, of course, for criminals, we don't want that. No, it'll eventually be less rights for you relating to your guns as well. Mark it, write it down, remember who told you first, lol.
Absolutely right, Sam. House Bill 78, Motion Picture Incentives Amendments. This is a bad bill. It would make permanent certain motion picture incentives available only for rural productions. This bill awaits action by the governor. See, and this is a bad bill, Sam, because the government is picking winners and losers in the marketplace, right? I mean, why don't they give Liberty Roundtable podcasters some incentive, right? Because we need more Liberty Roundtable podcasts in the state, and so we really ought to have an incentive for that. Well, as ludicrous as that sounds, it's just as ludicrous as making an incentive for motion pictures in rural Utah. Right? I mean, they're picking winners and losers, Sam, and that is not the proper role of government.
Amen to that. HB 112.
This one's entitled Sex Education Instruction Amendments. This is a good bill. It passed the House, but it failed to go anywhere in the Senate. This bill would remove human sexuality from the list of topics to be covered in sex education instruction in public schools, which today covers sexual abstinence, human reproduction, reproductive anatomy, physiology, pregnancy, marriage, childbirth, parenthood, contraception, HIV and AIDS, sexually transmitted diseases, and refusal skills. Well, the words human sexuality is still on that list. And so if you get sex education in public school in Utah, you will be discussing human sexuality along with everything else. So this is a good bill, but
we're about out of time. Two more bills really quick. HB 164, HB 348. They're both similar in nature. They're different, but they work together, right?
Yes. The first one outlaws CBDCs, and the second one allows the state treasurer to invest a portion of state funds in precious metals like gold and silver. Sam, excellent bills. They both await action by the governor.
Yeah, the question is, does the governor have the guts to sign it? We pray he does.
We pray he does. Well,
amen. Final bill?
The last one is this House concurrent resolution condemning and censuring State School Board member Natalie Klein. Horrible resolution. Horrible precedent. She is a member of the State School Board, and she was condemned because of a social media post that questioned a student's gender. And this is the very first time, Sam, that a legislature publicly censured a public servant such as Natalie. Well, the left has been trying to get her ever since she was elected.
But we stand with her, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we do. And my question, amen, Sam, is why didn't the legislature censure Governor Cox, who last September attacked a handicapped BYU student who never said a single racial slur to the lying women's volleyball player?
It's Governor a great, Cox. Honest question. We're flat out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Check out campaignforliberty.org. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. God save the Republic of the United States of America.